This morning we talk with Alden Graves of Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont for our book list, and they have traveled around the literary globe to collect these wonderful tomes. After spending lots of time of reading dozens of books and studying up, Alden joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list to share with us. Alden, good morning. Welcome to the program. Always good to see you. Thank you.
Morning, Joe. Thank you.
You have a great list. Where would you like to begin?
I'm going to start with a plug for myself that I promise I'll tie into this book. I have a book group that I host at the Northshire called The Dark Side. And every month we discuss a catastrophe like the Triangle factory fire in New York or a disreputable character like Jack the Ripper. And this book kind of fits into that genre. It's called Midnight in Peking, and it's by an author by the name of Paul French. It's about a particularly grisly murder in Peking in 1937. And what kind of sets it apart from other murder stories is the fact that the victim was a 19-year-old student who happened to be the daughter of a retired British diplomat. And this was a period in history when the Japanese were encircling Peking, and so the investigation was caught up in a lot of extraneous influences that impacted directly on the investigation itself. It's a fascinating story, kind of convoluted in a way, but always you have the looming possibility of the Japanese invasion of Peking impacting on how the investigation into this very grisly murder was going.
The book is Midnight in Peking by Paul French. It sounds fascinating.
It is. It's a fascinating book. I think it is available in May. I don't think it's out right at the moment.
All right. Okay. So out soon.
I'm going to start the next one by asking you a question, Joe.
Yes.
How many British prime ministers have been assassinated in the history of the country?
Oh, my.
Yes, this throws everybody.
Wow.
One.
Okay.
One.
I can't come up with a name.
His name, I don't blame you. Nobody.
Okay, all right.
His name was Spencer Percival. The book's called Why Spencer Percival Had to Die. And this took place right after the turn of the, I always get this confused, 19th century. And the murder was committed by a failed Liverpool businessman who thought that the Great Britain had done him a bad turn when he was involved with a kind of a shady business deal in Russia. He thought the British government should have reimbursed him for the money that he lost in this business transaction, and the government felt otherwise. And he tried everything he could think of to get his money from the government and decided that the only recourse was to shoot the prime minister, which he did. This book is fascinating in the one particular respect, and that is the characters of both the prime minister, Spencer Percival, and the assassin, John Bellingham. Bellingham had nothing against Percival, absolutely nothing against him. He actually expressed some sorrow that Percival's 11 children would have to grow up now without a father. Percival, on the other hand, was a kind of a religious fundamentalist, and those people are extremely hard to bargain with. They kind of draw a line in the sand, and that's it. And it was kind of a negative aspect of his personality. But on the positive side, he was just absolutely adamant that he was going to end slave trade in the world. And that upset an awful lot of people in Great Britain because it impacted on an awful lot of people's pocketbooks, ending the slave trade. So this author, whose name is Andrew Linklater, Linklater, delves a little deeply in what seems on the surface just to be a murder committed by a disgruntled, kind of unhinged citizen it was more than that. There were other factors involved. And from a perspective of 200 years, he goes back and tries to put the pieces together. It's also a very fascinating book.
Andrew Linklater is the author, and the title of the book again is?
Why Spencer Percival Had to Die.
Why Spencer Percival Had to Die.
Yes.
Next on the list
is Oklahoma City. We're a whole bunch of real pleasant topics here. This is about the bombing of the Murrah building by two investigative journalists, Andrew Gimbel and Roger Charles. This, to me, was an absolutely fascinating book because it just about turns on its head anything you thought you knew about the Oklahoma City bombing. And the most revealing part, I think, of the book and the part of the book that's going to cause the most controversy is the way it was handled. And anybody who is not particularly enthralled with the way the federal government does things probably should steer clear of this book because it's not going to bolster your confidence in the government. The Justice Department, the FBI, and the ATF were determined that only two people, Timothy McVeigh, and I'm terrible with names, and one other man, were solely responsible for the bombing in Oklahoma City. When all kinds of very, very prevalent evidence suggested that they may have been the ones who, McVeigh was the one who left the truck in the parking lot in front of the Murrah building, but he definitely, with his friend, was not the only person involved in the bombing. It got to the point where the federal government seemed to be actively discouraging anybody who would at all question their findings on what happened that day. It's a revelatory book, but it is also kind of a discouraging book as far as, I mean, the priority seemed to be just blaming somebody. Mm. You know, when you're talking 160-something lives, that shouldn't be the priority.
And keeping it, as far as the investigation goes, tidy.
Yes.
In the sense that it was something that could be contained.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
It's a fascinating book. Both authors are going to be on the show next week, and we look forward talking to them about Oklahoma City. I've just started to read it, so I look forward to finishing it.
It should be interesting. Very
good stuff.
Interesting.
Oklahoma City by Andrew Gimbel and Roger Charles.
The next book I'd like to talk about is a biography by Jean Edward Smith called Eisenhower in War and Peace. And I started reading this book because I realized, even though I was alive as a child, when Eisenhower was in the White House, I didn't know much about him. Those years seemed to be kind of like a placid stream, and nothing much happened, and he sort of seemed to be a figurehead president who played the part really well. Well, I came away from this book thinking that Eisenhower arguably was the last great president that we've had in the White House. And his specialty was basically keeping a low profile. He was a brilliant politician. When he was elected president, George Patton, who served under him during World War II, said that, rather spitefully, I hope he makes a better president than he did a general. This book takes you through Eisenhower's rather humble origins, through his career in the military, his tenure as the president of Columbia University, and then his presidency. But he was a very, very wise man who seemed to think, and I think rightfully so, that most problems work themselves out if you just gave them enough time. You didn't really need an atomic bomb. After he finished his serving in World War II, he was adamant that war would not be an option for him, and not one single United States serviceman died anywhere in the world while Eisenhower was president. He was really, really a fascinating, very complicated, as you probably would expect. But it's a fascinating book. Bill Lewis, our resident historian at the North Shire, told me that Mr. Smith, Gene Edward Smith, is a great historian. He's written a book about Ulysses Grant and one about FDR. And Bill kind of talked me into reading this, and I was very, very glad I did.
It's Gene Edward Smith's Eisenhower now out. Next on the list.
The next one, and you really are probably going to have to put a leash on me when I get started talking about the Titanic.
I know you're very interested in the topic.
Yes, yeah, they are so sick of listening to me talk about the Titanic at the North Shore. But, of course, this is the centennial, and I hold... deluge, if you don't mind the word, of books have been released to coincide. One of the ones that caught my eye that I thought was particularly interesting is called Shadow of the Titanic by an author by the name of Andrew Wilson. And this book is basically about people who survived the night and lived under the shadow of the disaster the rest of their lives. It was not an easy thing to do for most of them. And I wanted to just take a moment to tell you about one survivor. And I think her experience is pretty much indicative of how a lot of people came to think of themselves after the disaster. Her name was Renee Harris, and she was the wife of a very successful theatrical producer in New York who... Mrs. Harris had not had a good day even before the iceberg reared its head at 20 minutes of midnight. She had fallen on a staircase on the Titanic and broken her arm. And she lost her husband that night. And after the disaster, went into a prolonged depression, which she finally managed to pull herself out of and became the first woman theatrical producer in history in New York City. But like many of the survivors, her life was not all an easy path after the disaster. She married three times more unsuccessfully and produced a host of plays that were not successful. And one day she was walking on a street in New York. Somebody came up to her and said to her, "Were you really on the Titanic?" And Mrs. Harris said, "Yes, she was on the Titanic." And the stranger said to her, one of those really dumb questions that we all ask from time to time, did you survive? And it was almost like Mrs. Harris had never considered it before, but she said no and walked away. And that's the way I think a lot of the people who survived that night felt. They really didn't survive.
Right. It stayed with them, obviously,
for
the remainder of their lives. The name of the book is Shadow of the Titanic by Andrew Wilson. For more information on the North Shire Bookstore in Manchester, Vermont, you can go to their website, which is northshire.com. You can also check out Alden's book list there. You can also check it out at our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Bookseller extraordinaire Alden Graves, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much for being here. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.